Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know this. Every month, we have our friend Than Bennett on the show for what we call a faith perspective from the Hill. Than serves as the Director for Government Affairs for the ACLJ, and I say this every time he's on, and I pray you'll just give me grace again. But, you know, these conversations on the show for me, what I do every day, are usually focused on deeper life and faith issues. And I rarely venture into the world of politics because we have other shows that do that. But I don't want to pretend that the issues of today aren't pertinent to our faith. They absolutely are. We are in unprecedented times, whether we're sick of that phrase or not. It's just true. And I personally don't know anyone I trust more to bring us a humble biblical perspective on the times. And that said, I know we have Republicans, Democrats, and independents who listen to the show. So I'm asking for grace, humility, civility as we venture into these topics. Some of the things that we'll talk about are just how D.C. is grappling right now with the rising gas prices, our economy, the war in Ukraine, what's happening with the Supreme Court, and even the attempt to assassinate Justice Brett Kavanaugh, the Uvalde shooting, the January 6th commission. There's a lot going on right now. And even more than that, how do we as God's people speak life? You know, a friend and I were talking just recently about you, even as a believer, you can speak something that's contrary to life. When you let your heart get all muddied with attitudes, angst, and judgments, you're not speaking life anymore. And we have a high responsibility to walk in the fear of the Lord, to be sowing seeds with our words that build up, that encourage, that speak with revelatory wisdom and insight. And there is even a way to bring correction with humility and direction the way God does with us. So our hope and our prayer is that we can speak life today and just pray for us as we go, that we would represent God's heart and seek to understand the times so that we know what to do. Some of the other things we'll talk about is just that our lives reflecting the character of God in this day. And what is the power of the name of Jesus? What does that mean for us as a believer? So let me tell you about my guest, and we will get him on the show. Than Bennett is a director of government affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice and is a regular on-air contributor for the daily syndicated radio broadcast J Secular Live. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. We've got some books to give away, both of those copies, so you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Than and his wife, Brooke, live in Fort Washington, Maryland. I think I have that wrong. Phooey. That's not where you live, is it, Than? You moved a long time ago.
It's now Accokeek, Maryland, but, that's okay, a difficult one to say. So Fort Washington is close. It's close.
Thank you very much.
Southern Maryland, yes.
I'm putting you back into Fort Washington, if you don't mind. But anyway, we love you. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, Susie, it's always so good to be with you. And you sound so strong. I'm so grateful for that. Yeah.
Me too. I'm super grateful. Every day feeling a little better. Really grateful. Well, you know this. You've been on the show so many times. We love to just make it personal. What has the Lord been impressing upon your heart these days?
Yeah, I love this segment so much, Susie. And God's really been speaking to me in recent days. And I really hope actually beginning to do a work in me, really. About what it really truly means to aim my life's priorities at seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's a phrase out of Psalm 27:13. But I really think I've spent an inordinate amount of time in my life maybe conflating my mission a little bit, and I suspect I'm maybe not alone in this. And Susie, God's just been using a whole range of methods and voices, trusted people in my life to sort of, I think, even gently reprove me in this a little bit and refine my life's priorities. And this passage in Psalm 27 is just one of those methods, but I think maybe it's the one that's sort of encapsulates it the best. It's this rhythmic back and forth through the chapter as David, who's the author, sort of will describe a calamitous circumstance, and then he'll respond to it with a reason for his hope or his confidence. Maybe I'll just give you a couple of examples here. Like, for instance, he says, the wicked are advancing on me. And then he says, my heart will not fear. And then he says, war is breaking out against me. And then he says, even then I will be confident. And there's a number more of them, but it's this repeated rhythmic theme, Susie, of laying down self-reliance, even when the challenges or the circumstances are overwhelming, and just simply trusting God's plan and his leading. Verse 4 talks about desiring only one thing, dwelling in the house of the Lord and gazing on his beauty. And it's really that focus, I think, that then gives David the confidence in verse 13 to say that he believes he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He doesn't have that confidence because of his abilities. It's because he's learned to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And then the closing verse, Susie, it just drives the point home. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. And so just personal application, I feel like I'm starting to get a glimpse of what that prioritization looks like in my life. And, you know, I'll just candidly, I've got a long way to go when it comes to application, but I'll tell you this, I'm learning to loosen my hold on the allure of the comfortable life, right? It's I'm not going to say it's got its talons all the way out of me, Susie, but I so desire to see God move in our day, and I trust him that he's capable of sheltering me against great obstacles. And so I really do believe that the allure of comfort is losing its hold on me, and wow. I'm learning that I am going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
I love that so much. It is amazing to me how God is mobilizing people and moving people around and really kind of disrupting the status quo a little bit so that we can be prepared to be on mission as he calls us to. So I think that is just powerful. The other thing, too, is the juxtaposition of the calamity and the declaration. You know, he wasn't saying, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living because everything's so good and I'm dreaming about even better things. He was saying this juxtaposed with people are coming against me. These are chaotic times, but I will see the goodness of the Lord. And I think that one of the wonderful things about the Lord is, one, is he says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. So eternity is secure, and any deposits we've made into eternity in this life are safe with him. But he also does promise to meet us in the land of the living. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So that promise that not only am I gone away to prepare a place, I'm never leaving you. I'm not leaving you for a moment. That should give us great comfort and confidence, you know?
Yeah, so good. And, you know, you saying that was reminding me of a message I heard Tim Delena give. I don't know if it was this week or not. I heard it this week. And he was talking about how so often he asked the question, you know, how, God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get over this circumstance? And he just pointed to repeated places in Scripture where the answer to that question of how was simply one of remembrance of what God has done in the past. And, you know, Susie, I think God's got sort of a sense of humor, right? Because that's really the theme of my last book is remembering the goodness of God and the power of God and calling it forward into his day. And yet that's the challenge that I think I've been grappling with the most over the last few years is not relying on my own strength when there are circumstances, but remembering the goodness of the Lord, remembering his power, and then trusting him to bring me through them. So, like I said, it's just a message that's coming through all sorts of voices right now. And I think it's one for the whole church, really.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. Yeah, this is a time to be leaning in and listening and to giving God absolute access to our story, even our character, so that we can be positioned for his sake. Wow, that's so powerful. So we're going to get into these, you know, in more detail. But I ask you this, too, at the open of every conversation I have with you is just as you're living in the epicenter of politics and working in the epicenter, from a 30,000-foot view of all that's going on, is there one standout issue that's either burdening your heart or just striking you the most these days?
Yeah, it's honestly so difficult to know where to start on that question right now, Susie, because it's honestly impossible to focus on one issue right now. I mean, they're just cascading and layering on top of themselves. So, I mean, maybe what I would just paint for you is sort of an overall picture of sort of this a mountain of crises almost. You've got the economic crisis. You know, everybody listening probably is sobered by inflation and gas prices. The market officially went into bear territory, I think, yesterday. And there are a lot of signs, Susie, that that's going to continue. Then You've got the shootings, as you mentioned in the opening of the broadcast, specifically in Uvalde, Texas. That's led to a debate here in Washington about how to respond, and it triggers, you know, very passionate views on both mental health and then also gun safety. You've got the whole situation surrounding the Supreme Court, both on the pro-life case that still has to come out, and then the foiled assassination attempt that we saw. And then you've got the January 6th committee hearings. There's actually one that just wrapped up a few minutes ago. And so I think maybe rather than point to one issue, I think I would just say that I think the enemy, and I would say that in a spiritual term, and also just the enemy of division among people that have different views, is really piling on right now. And I think maybe if I would give you one takeaway from sort of that just compilation of issues. So, Susie, it really is pressed upon my heart that we as believers need to maybe take another look at why we instinctively think that the way forward on these matters comes out of Washington, D.C., because I really truly just don't believe it does. I mean, this needs to be a city that reflects a way forward that is decided by the people. But Susie, I think all of those situations actually reflect a brokenness of individuals and of our society that can only be addressed through a radical change of the heart. And I've said this so many times, but I'm going to say it again, Susie. I don't think that starts here. I think it starts in churches and families and individuals, and then ultimately Jesus followers who have decided that we are radically committed to Jesus Christ. I think that's the way forward.
Got some amens, and I didn't even have to ask for them, but I'm going to ask. Somebody got to give me an amen. Steve is always on top of things, so is Angie. Text me, 877-933-2484. You've said before, Washington is downstream from culture, and so what is happening there is a reflection of what's happening all over the place. And so for us to shake our fist there, I mean, you can, I mean, I've shaken my fist. I've been frustrated at times, but then we've got to step back and go, wait a minute here. Am I dwelling in the land? Am I feeding on his faithfulness? Am I reflecting his heart to my neighbors? We need to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig into some of these issues. Again, praying with grace, civility, humility. We welcome your questions as well. But what about the price of gas? Is that really Putin's fault? Just curious. And what about what's happening with the Supreme Court? Even the leak, is that being prosecuted or is that even being investigated? I'd like to know that. How about you? You can text your questions now to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett, who joins us once a month to get a faith perspective from the Hill. He serves as Director for Government Affairs for the ACLJ. And so, again, like I say, you know, if you listen often enough, we delve into deeper life topics, talk about just substantial faith, maturing in our faith, prayer, identity, all those things. And then once a month, we put our toes in the water around what's happening in the political sphere, because it does ripple out, does impact what's happening in our faith journey. We can't pretend these things aren't happening. So we're venturing in with someone we trust very much. We welcome your questions. You can text them to 877-933-2484. So let's talk about the gas prices. What say you?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone listening is sort of in shock by this, Susie. I mean, it just cost extraordinarily more just to drive to work, drive to the grocery store, drive your kids to school. And, when we talk to people all across the country, what they want to know is, what is D.C. going to do to address it? And, you know, Susie, unfortunately, the way forward on this, and some of this is going to be Than opinion, I'll try to sort of designate it when it is, but the truth is, we need more production domestically in order to have a real impact on price at the pump. And as you tease this issue going to break, the war in Ukraine certainly does have an impact right now. It decreases global supply, and it means that we have to look for other places to get crude oil. And some of those places that we have to look are places that you don't typically want to be in reliance on places like Venezuela and Iran. But Susie, this is where I'll give you just maybe my opinion on the path forward. I think the path forward is domestic production. And this is a hot topic. This is a topic that generates a lot of opinions here in Washington, D.C. But I think if you take an honest look at the course of human history, I think the extraction of natural resources, God-given resources that our Creator gave to us, I think it's been a tremendous moral good, not just permissibly moral, Susie, but I think it has literally saved and sustained hundreds of millions of lives across the course of human history. So I honestly think we just need to tap into the resources that are available, do them in a responsible way. And that way, once we do have disruptions like the war in Ukraine, it doesn't have as big of an impact. But I will tell you, I will concede this, that's not a switch that you can just throw. The exploration and the production and the refining of crude into fuel that can be used to heat homes and to fill the fuel tanks of vehicles, Susie, that takes a long time. And so this is a policy that people on both sides of the aisle are going to have to come together and find common ground on, and then be willing to stand behind it over the long term if it's going to make an impact. It's not going to be something that's going to turn around, just in a matter of weeks.
And maybe I don't need to ask this question, but I wonder about it, so I'm going to ask. But weren't the prices going up before the war in Ukraine? You can't fully blame it on what's happening there, can you?
Not at all. It's a contributing factor. It's a factor that you need to be prepared for. Because look, these things are going to happen. You're going to have disruptions around the world that are going to upset supply, and you've got to be willing to offset that. That's why I think the answer comes from domestic production. But Susie, I will say this: if you want to ask the question about why were prices rising before, it wasn't just energy prices, Susie. It was food prices. It was everyday living prices. And I will tell you, I think the majority responsibility for that actually lies with both the executive branch and the legislative branch. This out of control spending that we saw in the wake of COVID. Yes, there were some needs that probably needed to be addressed, but Susie, we spent well beyond our resources for a number of years, and for things that were well beyond the scope of COVID, and that hurt the value of a dollar. And it's driving inflation right now. And until there's a little bit of backbone in Washington, D.C. to maybe take the politically not so popular position of restraining spending, I don't think you're going to see a reverse in that inflation number, Susie.
That's what's so heartbreaking. It's like you don't even have to be an economist to say, man, if you print more money than you have, you're going to lower the value of what you have. And you and I talked several months ago, even just the impact of too much handout, what it does to the work ethic. I know a number of business owners and leaders who are saying this mindset has infiltrated the work ethic of even people who normally have a strong work ethic, the sense of entitlement that I should get way more that I'm receiving now. And there's one thing to help people who desperately need help. It's another whole thing to hand out just this unprecedented amount of money, and it's really, it seems like it was without so much accountability as well. So, I mean, the water is under the bridge, but we are paying for that. And I wonder how long we'll be paying for that because of, the dollars that were spent. And yeah, anyway.
Well, to me, Susie, it comes back to one word. It's incentive. And I think we need to think about what incentive is our policies putting forward, whether it's taxation policies or spending policies or whatever it is. But the aggressive spending, it did reduce the incentive to be productive and go to work, right? I mean, it mm-hmm. gave an incentive to stay at home and to come away from the workforce. And that is a habit that is sort of hard to unlearn, even when the incentive starts to be drawn back. And this is maybe making a secondary point a little bit, Susie, but I think there's a lot of common ground to find here, actually. This is why I passionately believe that we need to be very careful about keeping restraints on the scope of the federal government. And I'll tell you this, I'll say that even when the White House and both chambers of Congress are controlled by people that might advance a policy that I would like. I still think the fundamental principle of keeping the power out of Washington, D.C. and keeping it out across America, I think that leaves the incentives in the proper place, Susie, because look, it's just, this is just human nature. If you have power, you're likely to use it to advance your goals. And I just think Americans of every political stripe are better off if there's more power outside of Washington, D.C. than inside of it.
Can somebody give me an amen? Come on, I need an amen. I'm giving an amen. Amen, amen. Wow, that amen, really, that just seems, again, so obvious. Lord have mercy. This is why we need to be a praying people, because it feels like we're so top heavy right now that the vulnerable are paying the highest price, it seems. So, okay, how about this with the Supreme Court leak? Is it being investigated from an outside perspective? It doesn't seem like a very big deal is being made of that, but it's incredible what happened there.
So the marshal of the court is responsible for investigating that leak. And maybe just to back up for a minute, probably everybody knows this, but what happened was a draft decision of an opinion in the Dobbs case. That's the case out of Mississippi, where Mississippi passed a ban on most abortions after 15 weeks gestation, and a draft opinion that would essentially uphold the Mississippi law and overturn, in large part, Roe versus Wade, was leaked. Somebody inside the court leaked it. And Susie, we talked about this, I think, the last time, but it really had to come from either a justice or one of their clerks, because those are the only people that have access to those drafts as they circulate. And the marshal of the court is responsible for investigating. And I do know that a number of their version of depositions have been taken. So I do know that there's actually a controversy right now of how invasive to the clerks of the court that investigation has got. I personally think with a leak of this magnitude, the investigation should be very robust, and it is ongoing. But I'll tell you this. I think the investigation got a lot more complicated and probably took on maybe a lower priority in terms of timing when we had an assassination attempt. You just have to call it what it is. We had an assassination attempt on a sitting justice of the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. They picked up an individual who was armed and who admitted that he came to Justice Kavanaugh's house to kill him. And so, Susie, that took priority. I think it pushed the investigation back a little bit. And right now, look, we all just need to be praying. We need to be praying for the security of all nine justices of the Supreme Court, that they be allowed to make their opinions without undue influence and without threats of violence, because we're in a situation right now where all nine of them are, by the evidence, in a dangerous place. And just to be able to do their job, they need to be free of that threat. And so I think that's probably pushed the investigation back somewhat, Susie.
Yeah. We got to take a break here, but what's just so heart-wrenching to me is, you know, on Twitter, they're releasing the names of the schools that some of the justices' kids attend, or their church. And it's like, that to me should be jumped on right now. And so when we come back, I want to know, because my understanding is there's a law that you can't try to intimidate a justice of the Supreme Court, and you certainly can't go to their home. And I marvel that this is being allowed to go on. But once again, I'm passionate and you are sound minded. So I'm going to defer to you. But hearing that, reading that, it is just so heartbreaking to me. So yes, we are praying, but I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Any questions you friends have, you can text them in as well. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. You know, I chose that song, You've Done Great Things, because he's done great things and he's doing great things. God is moving in our midst, and this is why we fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and he scorned its shame, and he sat down at the Father's right hand. And that's why he said, let us not grow weary, let's not lose heart, because Jesus won a sound victory, and now overwhelming victory belongs to us. As we follow him, we trust him. He will make all wrongs right one day. He will work all things together for the good, in Jesus' name. So I'm talking to Than Bennett. We bring him on once a month to get a faith perspective from the Hill. Than serves as the Director for Government Affairs for the ACLJ. And we sure welcome your questions about the current events. As you know, if you listen often enough, we delve into a lot of deeper life topics. But once a month, we just want to just have some conversations around the topics, the issues of the day, and how it impacts our prayers and even our stewardship of our perspective, you know, that we can discern the times and know what to do. And I don't trust anybody more than I trust Than to talk about these topics. As we before the break, we were talking about the leak of the Supreme Court about overturning Roe v. Wade. And right now you're seeing on the news, but not heavily covered as it should be, but that these justices' homes are being picketed in terrible ways. And you even on Twitter that people are releasing their personal addresses, the name of their church, the name of their children's schools with a charge to make them back down, make them sorry. And the idea that they're breaking the law, as I understand it. So maybe speak to that. And is there kind of a double standard, or is there actually an aggressive attempt to stay that, you know, this far and no more?
Yeah, it's a great setup of that question, Susie. I mean, the short answer is that they're absolutely breaking the law. And let me back up just a little bit and explain this. I mean, I think people probably say, well, you know, wait a minute. The First Amendment in the United States allows us the ability of free speech and to picket and to protest. And that's true. We've embraced that through our Constitution, through our Bill of Rights for a long time. You absolutely have the freedom to speak your opinion about issues of the day, but there are limitations. And Susie, I want to just maybe encourage your listeners who are interested in this to do a little exercise here. I think we've gotten out of the habit of actually reading the law. And if people look up 18 USC 1507. I know that sounds confusing. I'm going to say it again. It's actually very, very simple. It's 18 USC 1507. That will take you, the very first hit when you look it up, will be the law on this matter. It's very simple. You don't have to be an attorney to understand what it says. You can read one paragraph where, Susie, it says that if someone tries to use what would otherwise be a First Amendment right to picket and to protest, but they do it with two conditions. They do it either near a federal court or they do it near the residence of a judge, and they're doing it to try to either obstruct a ruling or to influence the ruling, which is clearly the case here. Both of those levels would have been documented. Then that is a violation of the criminal code in the United States, and it's punishable by up to a year in prison, or by a fine, or by both. So again, Susie, I think we're all served if we sort of get back into the duty of doing our own research, not just taking, you know, Than Bennett's opinion on this, but actually looking and seeing what does the law say, and are we going to uphold the rule of law in this country? If it weren't a federal judge, if it was just a public sidewalk and someone wanted to speak their opinion about the leaked opinion, protected under the Constitution of the United States. But 18 USC 1507 makes this a direct violation of the law. And Susie, I think the only way to stop it is to prosecute it. I think it should be prosecuted.
And why aren't they being hauled away? Why aren't they being arrested on site the second they do something like this? You think about these families and how, you know, they signed up for public service. And now, I mean, in fact, this listener writes in, it's so disheartening, she says, when media covers very little, if anything, conservative with so many lies. They rarely cover conservative issues. And if they do, they're spinning it. It's hard to even know, you know, I mean, you think of the people who live in that echo chamber, never probably don't even see these reports because, you know, there's conviction on both sides of the aisle of some who have some integrity to go, even if I disagree with them, this is not right. You know, where are those people?
Yeah, it's a great question, Susie, and I'm not going to pretend to be able to know the motives of the people with their authority to do this, but I can tell you who has that authority under our system of government. It's the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has what we call prosecutorial discretion, right? You can't, you very likely don't have the resources to prosecute every federal violation that occurs across America, and so they largely have the discretion to decide where their resources are going to go. And, you know, their only real defense would be that they have made a decision that this doesn't rise to the level of importance as some of the other things they're prosecuting. But, you know, Susie, again, I think I would make an appeal to people. If you look out across our country today and you look at what are the biggest threats to our way of law. I think it's really hard to make a case that a violent, confirmed threat to one of nine sitting justices of the Supreme Court, it's hard for me to imagine that doesn't rise to the level where you should use your discretion to prosecute it.
Yeah. I mean, if this doesn't put, you know, if this doesn't, if they don't prioritize this to put this at the top of the list, I don't know what they're prioritizing, because that is so disheartening. So, wow. Again, reasons to pray, friends, and praying protection around our Supreme Court justices, and that God's justice will be served. He's not missing anything. He is not missing anything. He's not indifferent about anything. And as we seek his face, just much like your book, My Fame, His Fame, you know, Fan, when you're thinking about just this bold, passionate appeal, you know, before we get into some of the other D.C. updates, maybe just kind of give a synopsis of My Fame, His Fame. We've got copies to give away, because this is a really bold appeal to cry out to God to say, do something in our day that could be identified no other way except that you moved. What do you say?
Yeah, this is really a book, Susie, that was born out of anguish for what I was seeing in my culture. And it's rooted in the story of Habakkuk, as you know. And Habakkuk was a prophet that wasn't very pious. He saw a culture that was broken, and he went to God angry. And he asked God, why aren't you doing something about this? And it's a very visceral, sort of heartfelt back and forth between Habakkuk and God. Not all of it's pretty. In fact, a lot of it is a promise of judgment. But at the end of the day, really what God says to Habakkuk is, look, my fame is ready to address the problems that you're bringing to me, but I created you to be the vessel for my power and my fame and my glory, to rush across the land and to be the remedy, really, for all of these crises that you're bringing to me. And so it's sort of this blend of judgment and then also promise on the other side. But Susie, it's a call to stand at your place on the wall. That's the phrase that's used in the book, and to be the vessel by which God can speak. And maybe I'll just say this, after a lot of back and forth, Habakkuk responds to God with this proclamation in Habakkuk 3, verse 2. And it's what the book is rooted in. And it's what my heart's cry is for this moment in our nation as well. Habakkuk finally responds after he kind of relents to God, and he says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. And this is the part that gets me, Susie. He says, repeat them. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And Susie, I want to just go back to where I started this with. I have no doubt that God is going to make himself real, make himself known in this land and across the world. But my prayer is that I would live to see that. I want to live to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so really, the thrust of this book is just inviting Jesus followers to echo that plea from Habakkuk, and then to be willing to be used by him, to step forward and say, I will obey, even if it comes at personal cost, because I want nothing more than to see your power made real in our day.
Oh, amen. And I love this from the book. You said, I'm ready for the God of the universe to step in and do something beyond my wildest imagination. I'm ready for his time of silence to end and for wrongs to be made right. I am ready for his fame to roll through the land. I'm ready for these days, my days, our days, to be marked by a move of the Almighty God. So great, it has to be seen in order to be believed. Wow, love that so much. Okay, let's talk, if we can, about the January 6th commission hearings. I've been hearing two sides of opinions around that. Some are saying this is a kangaroo court in that there's not room for any dissenting opinion or another side of the argument, and others are saying it's proving everything that people were suspicious of. So what do you say?
You're hearing mixed messages on something out of D.C., Susie? It's shocking.
Yeah,
shocking.
I know.
No, I make light of it. But I will tell you, a lot of what you've said is true. People are just giving sort of a narrative and an agenda that they're trying to push when they're covering this. As I've watched these, I've had a really heavy heart watching them. It's something that I lived through. And when I see the video of that day, a lot of the people that were fleeing for their lives are people that I know. And so It's been hard to watch. But look, I think you're right. There's a lot to get distracted by here. If you listen only to Republicans, you will hear that the process is biased and therefore it's worthless. And I'll tell you, a lot of that's true. A lot of the process has been very bad. It's definitely been political. But then if you listen to Democrats, they're inclined to not include in the review a look at security preparations that were maybe not made because they say that's not the main issue. And, you know, maybe they have a point. Maybe it's not the main issue. But Susie, none of those views tells the whole story. So I would just encourage people not to get taken in by either of them, because I think you're doing a disservice to yourself to be educated on what happened and what led up to it if you do it. Maybe let me say this. I think if you watch the hearings with an open mind and then you do it while thinking against the backdrop of what we've seen in cities all across this great country over the last few years, you will come to the unmistakable conclusion of a pretty tragic truth that really all of us need to be honest about. And that is that we have decided in an increasing number that violence and intimidation on both sides of the aisle are a preferred and a regular tactic in American politics.
Have mercy, Lord.
And I think that everyone who is wanting to play the comparison game and say, yeah, but their violence is worse, is short-circuiting the way out of this problem that I think all of us should acknowledge is there. I don't think that moves us forward. I think all of us need to be honest about the problem of violence and intimidation that exists in our own circles and work first to root that out. I don't know, Susie. I don't think anyone can take an honest look at the video from January 6th or the videos of the riots in Minneapolis or Portland or Chicago and come away with any conclusion that there's at least a measurable segment of both sides of the political aisle that think that violence is an okay way to advance their political agenda. And if you're a student of history, Susie, we know where that ends. We created this republic to be different. So now we have a time of choosing. Do we want to be like the civilizations of history that have all been rendered to the ash heap of history? Or do we want to hold true to the value of a free and fair debate where the merits of an issue determine whether or not it rises or falls? And I think that is a fork in the road, Susie. I think people of goodwill on both sides of the aisle have to choose the path of peaceful debate. Otherwise, the path that we will choose will be the same one that many civilizations have trod in history.
Really, that's so why people are vilifying those who think differently than they do, because it comes with so much weight, so much threat, you know, all of the intimidation that goes along with it, where it's almost like it's people are getting so amped up. And I often say, as lawlessness increases, love decreases. And so somehow, some way, we've got to be different. We've got to show up with an opposite spirit, you know, and pray like crazy, like never before, that God would intervene, especially in those, you know, who maybe are unsuspecting but are being used to forward an agenda that they're not even fully aware of all the implications, but they're being used because they have brokenness, they have anger, they have angst. And boy, we need the Lord. Before we go to break, this listener said, where does one go to find the law that we're told to look up? The law that you mentioned about how it's against the law to intimidate judges and to try to influence an outcome. Give us that code again, and then where would they find it?
So yeah, I wouldn't recommend pulling up the entire U.S. code. It will overwhelm you. I would literally just open a Google search and enter this 18, so 18, put in a space, and then USC, that stands for United States Code, 1507. It will literally pull up one paragraph. It will almost certainly be the first hit that comes up on a Google search. 18 USC 1507. You will pull up the code. There are parts of the code, Susie, that are difficult to understand. If you're not an attorney, this is not one of them. This will be very straightforward.
All right. You think you got that? And we're going to break here, but Mary says, have mercy on us, God. Let the truth be evident, and may we have eyes to see the truth. That is a beautiful prayer, and it's really a perfect prayer for the hour. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Let the truth be evident. We are in a day where truth is being thrown to the ground, but remember, is it Psalm 84 or Psalm 85? I don't remember, but it says, truth springs up from the ground, and righteousness smiles down from heaven. And you want that code again, 18 USC 1507. Head to Google and put that in the search, and you should get it. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Hope you're having a really great day. If you're in a season right now where you are fretting over the wickedness that you see every day, the corruption, the chaos, the division, go to Psalm 37 because it'll just be a great reminder not to fret over evildoers. Don't worry when it seems like they prosper for a season. You dwell in the land. You feed on His faithfulness. You delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And there, once again, is this juxtaposition, kind of like Than opened the show with, where, yes, these things are true, but truer still is there's a God of the universe who is with you, who's for you. And as you flourish in life, as you work faithfully and serve faithfully and give generously and represent God's heart in your sphere of influence, God is with you and He puts His hand upon you in a powerful way. And that serves the enemy notice that I will not be dismayed. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to get off my game. I'm going to stay faithful on Jesus' heels, follow Him, do what He says. I'm going to love people well. And I'm telling you what, in the end, the enemy loses and we prevail. We're the ones who will still be standing. So don't lose heart. Stay in the Word. And maybe Psalm 37 is a great place to camp for a little while. Talking to Than Bennett today. We have him on every month to get a faith perspective from the Hill. He serves as the Director for Government Affairs for ACLJ. And we've been walking through some of the issues of the day. Give us an update on the Dobbs decision.
Yeah, Susie, this is the case out of Mississippi. We touched on it just a moment ago, but it's essentially the state of Mississippi passed a law that restricts most abortions. There are a few minor exceptions, but most abortions after 15 weeks of gestation. So this is well after there's a heartbeat, well after a child can feel pain in the womb, but it restricts most abortions. That was challenged, and that case has made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And both the petitioners, the people who were challenging the law, and the state of Mississippi have asked the Supreme Court to actually make a judgment on the underlying justification for what would have typically said this law is unconstitutional. And that's a case called Roe versus Wade. Most of your listeners have probably heard of that. And then also some follow-on cases, most notably a case called Casey versus Planned Parenthood. So, Susie, that is the case that there was a leaked opinion that leaked out, which has never happened before in the history of the Supreme Court, and which has caused a lot of this controversy. But at stake there is whether or not every state across this country is going to be able to consider what the court has previously called pre-viability restrictions. So that would be any restrictions before about 22 or 24 weeks gestation. And just as far as timeline goes, Susie, the court usually ends their session by the end of June. It looks like it might spill over to the first week of July this year. But so here in the next few weeks, we will have a decision on that case. And, you know, Susie, can I just say, your comments to open the segment, we always try to land on hope here. And I know it's a treacherous time to live, but the God of the universe saw fit to create you and to create me and to place us in this time. He didn't do that by accident. And so I just want to land on hope. Yeah, these are big circumstances, but God literally created us to channel His power in this moment in history, not a different one. He knew these challenges would exist, and He created us to be a vessel for Him in these times. So let's land on hope and let's walk forward with that charge.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to do one of my favorite things where I just throw some scripture at you and ask you to respond. You don't even know what I'm going to say, but I just feel like you're a deep well. So I want to take Psalm 23 kind of passage by passage and just what comes to mind in light of the days we're in. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. What do you say?
Wow, I love that. Honestly, what comes to mind is an experience that our family just had a few weeks ago. We had the privilege of babysitting a lamb for our neighbors. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy, but during the course of that, when we would take this baby lamb back to its pasture at the end of the night to return to its sort of adopted flock, literally, when you open the gate, Susie, you had to stand in the gap of that gate. Otherwise, the baby lamb would just run right outside of the security that was provided for it. And so when you say the Lord is my shepherd, I think about that gap in the gate and how the shepherd literally puts his body between safety and threat. And he stands in the way of that threat being able to reach that baby sheep. And so it's just a It's just a very vivid picture, isn't it, of wow. what Christ does for us, stands in the gap between security and threat.
You know, and that just speaks to the heart of our shepherd, that he's a good shepherd. Mm-hmm. He loves us, and he leads us with grace and mercy. All right. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength.
Yeah, I think God knows and understands the weight of what we're facing. I alluded to this at the start of the broadcast, but the last several years have just been so weighty, Susie. And this is something that I'm trying to grow in. I'm not gonna tell you that I've reached it, but I want to rest in His power and His authority. I want to not rest on my own abilities, and He's promised that if we will do that, He will provide us restoration. So I think this is an area I need to grow in, but I'm aware of it, and I do know that if I truly want rest, that He's really the only place to find it.
Yeah, and I even look at the different aspects of this invitation and promise. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. You know, there are scenarios for each of us that are just good for our soul, and He does that. And then He renews our strength. When we're worn and weary, He knows what we need, and we just pay attention. Mm-hmm. We follow Him. He leads us on these exit ramps to these places of rest. I just think that's amazing. Okay, He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name.
Yeah, well, I think ultimately it's about His glory, right? I mean, I let other things get in the way. I think actually when you say that, the first thing that comes to mind is a message I heard from Pastor Conlon recently where he was talking about the parable where Jesus casts the demons out of the man and He sends them into the pigs, and the pigs run over the cliff to their death. And the people got mad about that, Susie, and they got mad because they were more concerned about their livelihood than about proximity to Jesus or about meeting people's needs. And, the good life is seductive, and it's easy for me to aim at that. But I think we need to desire that proximity to Jesus above all else, even at personal cost, right? And mm-hmm. I think it's only when that desire is first and foremost in our life that we will find that peace that Psalm 23 talks about.
Oh, beautiful. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and staff, they protect and comfort me.
I think those are the times we're in. I think we are in the times of great threat. And I think I retreat to what we talked about a moment ago, that there's not a solution from a government of men for a lot of these things. But there absolutely is a solution through the rod and the staff of the creator of the universe. And so let's lean on that.
Amen. All right. You prepare a feast for me, or another translation, a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings.
I have two thoughts on that. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that promise. But I also want it to be realized here in our day and our time. It goes back to the conversation we had about the book. And, maybe the second thought I have is, I heard someone say, I wish I could give credit. I can't remember who it is. And it sounds a little bit controversial at first, but it was, that the church needs to be more concerned with saving Americans than America. And at first I kind of blanch at that, right? Cause I love America. I want to save her, but, Susie, the way that we actually save America, even though that's not the primary goal, is to heed the call of the gospel and to save people. And if we reach out with life-saving message of the gospel and we save people and we save Americans, guess what we're going to get thrown in? We're going to get the saving of America thrown in. And so let's just keep those things in priority, and let's aim at reaching people for Him rather than defeating people who see things differently than us.
Exactly. I mean, really, if our hearts don't break for the lostness of others, especially those who think differently than us, then we need a heart shift. And that last verse, we're ready to wrap here, but surely Your goodness and unfailing love, another translation, Your goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. Stan, thank you for this time today. Always a rich conversation with you.
Thank you, Susie. We love you.
Love and appreciate you too. All right, friends, Stan Bennett's my guest today. We're going to leave the drawing open for a little bit. We've got copies of his book, My Fame, His Fame, aiming your life and influence toward the glory of God, and in search of the King, turning your desire for meaning into the discovery of God. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I pray you found some encouragement here today. It is important to understand the times, but more than that, it's important to know God, walk intimately with Him, love Him, and let your relationship with Him be the most important thing about you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.